This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's the Now News Panel on AMI. Just before we get back to Juita and Michelle, I've got a little bit of breaking news. The Canadian press is reporting the United States land border is going to be reopened to vaccinated travelers on November the 8th. This is a White House official says the U.S. will announce today that it will reopen its land border to vaccinated non-essential visitors as of November the 8th. So more details coming out as the day unfolds, but big thanks to the Canadian press for shooting that one out across the wire. Okay, let's get into our last topic. Here's something you already know. The cost of university is going up in Canada and continues to rise. According to Statista, the average annual cost of an undergraduate tuition in Canada was over $6,600 in 2020-2021. That's compared to $4,400 in 2006. And of course, those numbers do not account for student fees, which are in the thousands of dollars annually as well. Students in Canada are graduating with an average of $27,000 in student loans. The universities themselves are facing their own pressures. Faculty are feeling overworked and underpaid. Departments are relying on part-time and associate professors. And of course, Laurentian University in Sudbury filed for creditor protection earlier this year, something unprecedented for a university in Canada. So it begs the question, are universities in Canada facing a crisis? Juita, you want us to hash this out. Why?
Well, partly it's because I always like to tell the story on air about how when I was an undergraduate student, I joined the Student Day of Action and all of us were in like this giant march and we plopped ourselves down at the intersection of college and university because those were the only colleges and universities we could afford. So it's a longstanding issue, but it's also a really interesting issue because I think as I think about it now, you know, I realize how much of this crisis is of the university's own making. Plus, we are in such an interesting moment. I mean, that we've been doing remote classes have been on the rise for quite a number of years now, but it's really become mainstreamed as a result of the pandemic, which of course means that now, if you're a student, you are spoiled for choice. If tuition is too expensive for you in Ontario, go study in New Brunswick. There's nothing stopping you from studying from the comfort of your home. All of this is going to put universities that are already buckling under the pressure in the ways that you've described in competition with one another. So the question for me is, how valuable is a university degree? Are students just throwing up their hands in despair and saying, forget it, I don't want to be $20,000 in debt or more, only to end up with a job that I feel I'm frankly overqualified for? And where do we go from here? That's the question that I really ponder about.
So let's ask the big question here, Michelle. Let's try to hash this out a little bit as to whether or not universities are truly in a crisis. It does feel that way a little bit, that it feels more and more that post-secondary schooling options, there are a lot of pushes towards the trades now or more specified job training, specifically in Ontario at the college level or in Quebec, they'd call it the CEGEP level, where there are 2 and 3 year programs that you can do that sort of specifically take you down a career path versus sort of the conventional bachelor's degree, whether it be science, arts, et cetera. But what do you think, Michelle? Are universities facing a crisis?
I agree with you, Dave. I think it does really feel that way on a bunch of levels. Juita outlined a number, and you talked about the financial piece, but there's even, I think, an even more fundamental question that's beginning to surface, too, as people question the value of the degree. It's not just in those financial terms or in career prep terms. It's what are we learning? Are we learning what we're supposed to be learning? Are we learning it to the degree that we ought to be learning it? Are we reaching the standard that we were told to expect or that we've come to expect from university graduate? So there, I think there are a number of really basic questions in terms of not just how they survive, but exactly what purpose they're serving and how they're serving it. So it's, it is pretty complicated that way. And there's, it's interesting to see the ways in which it's being discussed, even on, you know, not just in political hallways, but even in ideas like, you know, CBC's Ideas Show has been tackling that one at some length lately. There's a lot to unpack, and everywhere you go, there seems to be a new problem. And ultimately, I think that does contribute to the perception that there is a bit of a crisis unfolding.
Joita, Michelle mentioned that episode of Ideas. You actually sent us a link to that one, which I thought was really interesting, although I did find myself yelling at my headphones a couple times in regards to specifically about critical thinking, right? That not all university programs are created equal. There are certain pathways towards certain careers where universities do offer what would be more of a, let's call it a linear pathway, whether that be engineering, medical school, law school. So oftentimes sort of the next level of your degree, your graduate degree, as opposed to an undergraduate degree. But Joita, Michelle, we all agree that critical thinking is a valuable, valuable skill. It's something that I think the three of us apply all the time. It's one of the reasons why we make for a good news panel, the fact that we try to apply critical thought.
If we do say so ourselves.
Yeah, a little patting ourselves on the back here, a little ego rub on a Friday. But Joita, what do you make of maybe that being a part of this crunch, that because not all programs are created equal, that it's tough to like really say universities are in a crisis, where maybe it's that liberal arts departments and social studies departments are the ones that are actually facing the crisis?
Yeah, I think they've definitely taken the brunt of the some of the financial decisions that we've seen, the dependence on adjunct faculty to do a lot of the teaching, the reality that many courses are packed with students. I was telling my husband yesterday, I said, you know, I was in Psych 100 at U of T. He said, really? It was a large class? I said, yeah, it was a large class. It was 1,200 students packed into Convocation Hall.
Wow.
It's unreal. Michelle, you probably took the class too if you went to U of T. And so essentially what ends up happening in a lot of arts and social science degrees is we get rid of the seminars, we get rid of the classes where you would maybe spend more one-on-one time with your prof or your TA having some in-depth conversations. Because a lot of these classes in the arts degrees have frankly become cash grabs for universities. It's become a way, at least for, you know, and I think about the undergraduate experience again, for first and second year students to get it's a mechanism to weed people out. And so what are you actually getting from it? You're getting prerequisites to get into an upper level class. But in the way in which teaching is done, I'm not sure that that a lot of students benefit from that kind of teaching. I mean, the ratio was terrible. One prof to 1,200 students.
Yeah.
I can tell you that I met the prof on that occasion once over the course of the whole year, and I don't think I met a single TA. So
yeah.
I can talk this. At Queen's, where I took Psych 100, the class number was a bit smaller, but we had six professors over the course of that year. Every module was taught by a different person. So not only were there hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students, but a different teacher every 6 weeks or thereabouts.
And do you remember the story, Michelle? You'll have to remind me which university it was. But do you remember the story about the student who was listening to pre-recorded lectures, tried to get in touch with their prof, and was told the prof was unavailable? The prof was unavailable because the prof was dead.
Yeah.
And so, that's shocking because, you know, this is how universities are basically running pre-taped lectures and students have no possibility for engagement.
Yeah.
But you know, as long as we've recorded the lecture and we can keep cranking it out year after year, it doesn't matter how the theory is evolving. It doesn't matter how what's happening with student engagement. None of that is being considered. Can we make money off of it? That's become the key priority.
Michelle?
And that part, it speaks to the system a little bit. I actually sent the Ideas episode to a friend of mine last night, and he wound up calling me. We were on the phone talking about this for a long time. And he quite rightly pointed out that the way universities are structured now, that the undergraduate degrees fund and pay for the things that ultimately contribute to universities' prestige and cachet. So universities make their names through publications, through research, and it's the undergraduate levels and all those students with all those high tuitions rolling through that fund that and make that possible. Some of the pushes for reform include some kind of separation between research and learning. And I think that's part of why, is because there is a perception that certain priorities that don't involve teaching students to the best of your ability are what are driving things in universities and that trump those considerations.
Yeah, I think you guys both rightly identified class size and engagement with the material as being a big thing. And listen, I'm proud of the university education that I got. I'm a proud graduate of liberal arts programs and a political science program because I do think it's framed who I am. But certainly it was going to a college radio program that gave me a career. Right. It was going out and doing something beyond my bachelor's degree. So then you start asking yourself your question, well, what was I doing for 4 years doing this bachelor's degree when I probably could have done a radio degree in 2 years and gotten my career started about 5 or 6 years earlier? You know, time matters. Time is money and time matters. And sometimes the question that's going to be facing a lot of people, it's going to be coming down to students and students deciding what they want to do while the universities might just keep plodding along on the course they're at. Guys, listen, we're out of time, but I think we should actually revisit this topic topic again, maybe not next week, but perhaps between now and the end of the year, because I think we could probably hash out some solutions or think about reform. So guys, let's put a pin in this one because I think we should come back to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Outstanding. Yeah. Hey, Michelle, excellent work today. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
And Joita, you have yourself a great weekend as well.
Thank you.
Joita Gupta is the host of The Pulse on AMI Audio. Michelle McQuigg is the weekend news editor at the Canadian Press. Coming up after the break, Mike Ross will be here with the regional news update. Andy Frank has your sports chat. And Nazreen Abdel-Majid will be here with the national weather forecast. This is Now with Dave Brown on AMI. You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.